It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy shit. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being the director of the FBI.
Yeah.
You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. If you want to call in, we'll take calls tonight. 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pippi Illix.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe Curry will be here soon. I got a lot to do tonight on the show. Worst Moms Countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Love that one.
I love that.
Fan favorite. Again, the hard part is making sure the kids aren't really permanently damaged.
Yes. Well, that is a permanent...
Because that's really your worst moms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were lots and lots of those in
always
my research.
Are.
Yeah. But there was that... You know, really sad ending stuff that, like, really takes the fun out of it.
Takes the fun out of abuse and ineptitude.
That's not how I meant it. No, that is the fun part.
Yes.
Oh, wait, what?
And we'll be doing some Ann Jackson. A little bit of breaking news. Just broke. Wasn't really going to do all politics stuff tonight, but just broke. James Comey, former director of the FBI. Fired by Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
Given his walking papers, the reason, according to the letters from the Assistant Attorney General and the Attorney General, is the way that James Comey handled the Clinton investigation.
Bullshit. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Apparently, they feel that it was gratuitous. And excessively mean. I'm not kidding about this. This isn't Bizarro World. This isn't an April Fool's thing. That's the justification they used for firing James Comey. Now, keep in mind, Donald Trump used all those awful things that James Comey said about Hillary Clinton in the campaign. I remember seeing thousands of people and Donald Trump speaking and then some, like, chance of a... Cock your up or no? Lock her up.
Oh,
it was lock her up. Lock her. lot of that after you know she's under investigation under the FBI. And I seem to recall that Hillary kind of weathered that storm.
Yeah,
weathered that storm. And did not come across really well. And I argued at the time that Comey actually did more damage to the Democrats because if they would have said she's guilty, she would have had to drop out and Bernie Sanders. Would have run,
yeah.
But instead said, no, we didn't find her guilty of anything, and then verbally eviscerated her. I mean, just like put the verbal beat down.
Yeah, what was the thing that he called her? A terrible woman? A horrible woman? What was that?
Who, Trump?
Yeah.
Comey didn't do that.
No, Trump.
I don't know.
But my point is, oh, so he was too hard on Clinton.
Right. What, crooked Hillary.
Well, Crooked Hill.
Crooked Hill.
Put her in jail. So only Trump gets to have that fun.
So Comey eviscerates Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
But she could still run because she's not guilty, and Hillary took that as a victory. I said, oh, shit, that ain't good. But Hillary took that as a victory. So she's got a big lead 11 days out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
James Comey comes out again, goes, we're investigating her more. We just found some more emails. On Anthony Weiner's wife of a husband of Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton's top assistant, Uma Abedin. Just found a bunch of emails on Anthony Weiner's. We are reopening the investigation.
Because everybody wins with an association with Anthony Weiner.
Yes. I believe I got him on the biggest fools of the year list. I believe.
Yes.
Our boy Anthony, who's given so much.
So, well, Yeah, a little, if you know what I'm
saying. That's not very little. It's a good size.
Yeah, that's all right.
For a Jewish man, very good. Very good. Maybe it's the shadowing. I don't know.
That's a nice brisket.
It most certainly is. So thus proceeds the precipitous decline of Hillary Clinton and the final 11 days.
Now, 11 days out, yes.
Now, you can argue that's not why she lost. You can argue there was other things. You can argue she wasn't a good candidate. Right, she didn't campaign well. Right. Whole bunch of things.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is, when Comey said that investigation's coming out, her numbers went into the toilet. To the fact where they were, Hillary, by all polls, was like up a point or two on election day.
Mm-hmm.
Trump won by about 70,000 people over three states,
mm-hmm.
within the margin of error. Trump won.
Yeah.
Won the Electoral College.
The Electoral College.
So then Donald Trump becomes elected president. After we get inaugurated, they have footage of Donald Trump has all these people in the White House with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Come here, James." He calls James across.
Buddy.
And you see Comey looking really awkward about this.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You see Comey looking like really uncomfortable.
Oh, I don't want to look like in collusion here.
Donald gives him a big old hug.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, "I know what you did for me."
If that's your interpretation, fine. Mm-hmm. It certainly did not seem like he had any issues with the way Comey handled Hillary Clinton.
No, not that moment.
He seemed fine with it.
Yeah, he did seem okay with that.
Seemed almost delighted.
Yeah.
Now, Comey has had other missteps, including last week when he said that Uma Abedin forwarded emails to Anthony Weiner, confidential mm-hmm. emails mm-hmm. from Hillary Clinton. Apparently, that's not true.
Yeah.
But Comey has also spearheaded this investigation, and it came out under Comey that Donald Trump's been under investigation since July. We, the voters, did not know that when the election was going on, but now we do.
Well, but also, in a way, although today might change things, in a way that's a bit comforting because everybody was saying, why the hell is no one doing anything about this?
That's fine. I mean, I think the American people would like to know that both of our candidates were under investigation by the FBI. So maybe go, no. Hold the fucking vote.
Yay, us.
How about neither one of these two numbskulls?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. I put on Facebook today that the other day, our country would be in a better place if it was between Bernie and John Kasich. But that's neither here nor there. So the investigation's been going on. And then Comey gets fired.
Yeah,
we have not seen shit like this since Watergate.
Right.
When all the intel was coming out against Nixon, Nixon started firing everybody. They call it the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah.
So here we are. listen, the excuse that you could argue that Comey's incompetent. You could.
Right.
He's not. He's a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought in under Obama in 2013. He is a Republican. He was approved by the Senate. I want to say it was like 91-1, overwhelming approval.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have Sally Yates, who's was the acting Attorney General for Donald Trump for a brief hiccup. Also known as really a public servant of overwhelming approval when she was nominated for the position by both sides. Everything. These are not people that are known as political people. They are known as public servants who are doing their job. You can have your beef with them. I mean, there were certainly things with Comey that make me want to rip out my hair. I get that. But just imagine if Comey had been fired in August of this year after doing what he did to Hillary by Obama. Can you imagine the outrage on the right? And justifiably so.
They would be like, are you kidding me? He ripped her up. He did you a favor. What are you doing?
Why? Just because he's doing his job and you don't like what he said, you're going to get rid? You, Mr. President, are being partisan. But we've seen a little bit of the coverage, and it seems like everybody's taking their corners. The right is going, well, you know, we're restoring confidence in the FBI. Not really. No, you're not. Because we know it's going to be a political partisan hack who Trump is going to put in there.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen time and time again, instead of draining the swamp, he's actually pulling people out of the swamp, putting them in the boat, and bringing them to the White House.
Well, I think this goes beyond the swamp. This is what I've always... I wish Joe was here for this.
I know.
This is what I've always suspected about Donald Trump. He wants to be surrounded by yes people.
Yeah.
So he is going to surround himself with a yes person because he can't take no. Sally Yates warned Donald Trump. It came out, I think as Sean Spicer said today, that they looked at her as like a political adversary. They didn't trust her.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people that are working for you.
Yeah,
and they're warning, you about Mike. Sally Yates was warning about Michael Flynn, who we know now was a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Trump didn't want to hear it, supposedly. Yeah. Trump did not like the fact that his FBI, because it's his, FBI director works at the leisure of the president.
Right.
But they have 10-year terms that are supposed to, that go over a couple of administrations, so they're not supposed to be political hacks.
Right. And you know what? That's really important, because then you don't have the sort of thing that we were talking about where somebody fires the director because they don't like what they're doing according to their whim. Instead, they are supposed to let them do their job. Well, that's what's supposed to happen.
I think you will see a lot of Republicans defending this. You will see the Democrats being outraged.
Yes. Well, I mean, because everything seems to be on long party lines.
I do have hope, though. This is a man that, you know, listen, he was always against Obama. I was an Obama guy. And, you know, it was John Stewart used to eviscerate him with his little southern voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this about Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who I often do not agree with on politics.
Right.
They are both patriots.
Yes.
The two of them, I don't often agree with them, put country before party.
Yes.
Now, I might say, well, what they're doing is endangering the country, and I don't agree with that, and that happens to be the party line. But you see, you hear them enough go, okay, this is the way they think. This is what they think is right for the country.
Right.
Lindsey,
at least they're fairly consistent.
Right. They're hawks. They want to go to war. They want to drop bombs on everybody.
Yeah, I don't have to agree with everything that they want, but at least I can see where they're coming from.
But they are also both veterans.
Yes. Oh, no, no, no. But he got caught. That doesn't count.
Right, right. No, well, I mean,
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I've been waiting to snark out these things for a long time.
Well, we know John McCain was a POW, prisoner of war. But a lot of people might not realize Lindsey Graham is a Navy veteran.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, he's a Navy veteran. So you got two veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And not that veterans are above reproach.
Right. No, of course not.
But I always give him, well, at least this was, well, they sacrificed for the country. Because it's a sacrifice. Now, a lot of people go into the military because it helps them out. Helps them out on their life.
Yeah.
But that being said, they have done something for the country, which most of us have not.
No.
And, like I said, I don't always agree with John McCain or Lindsey Graham.
No.
Very often I don't.
No.
That's just the reality of it. But I do believe they put country before party, which a lot of politicians do not.
Right.
A lot of politicians do not do that. I do not believe Lindsey Graham will let this stand. I do believe we will have an independent prosecutor looking at this. Because
I sure hope so.
Because both the House and the Senate, it's weird when they look at this Russia thing. I mean, the left is trying to look at, like, the ties to Russia. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
And for a lot of it, the right is, well, who leaked this? Which is important.
It shouldn't be the first concern.
Right. It's like, listen, man, I agree. We shouldn't have leaks. I'm with you on that. Let's deal with the Russia thing first, and then we'll find out who leaked it. Let's do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Because if Donald Trump and his campaign did not collude with Russia, then we need to fucking let this go.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him differently.
Right.
And look at him as more legitimate.
Right.
And let the man do what he was voted to. Might not like it.
Right.
Might not like it. But if he didn't do anything with Russia, it takes off a lot of this illegitimacy off the table.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're – people are judged by their past actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's all this darkness clouding around him, and that's pretty deep if he's in collusion with another country that is our enemy,
right,
on paper, you know, then this is a really important thing to find out and clear. And then at least we could say, okay, he's not that kind of villain. You know what I mean?
And that's important.
Yeah.
And I contend if he's innocent, he would want to help this along. Because if I'm innocent, I don't want you talking about me like
right,
this.
Right.
I'd be like, all right, you want, call me down. You want to subpoena the President of the United States? Call me down.
Yeah.
I will testify under oath.
Mm-hmm.
Call every person. That's what, if I'm innocent.
Yeah. If you have nothing to hide.
You know what? Let's do it on a Saturday. It's usually when I go golfing. I'll stay in D.C. just this week. I could probably still get out to Jersey on Sunday if we do this quick.
Wait a second. If you guys can come down to Mar-a-Lago and make me testify
better
there.
Better yet. Although they're closing up the Winter White House for this. So I think he's going to be spending a lot more time in his place in Jersey.
Okay.
I think that's what we're looking for next. But if I am innocent, I don't want this hanging over my presidency. You know, if you and Joe are suspecting me of something dirty to the detriment of you.
Oh, God, I didn't think you knew.
I do. I would say, let's get this fucking on the table now.
Right.
Enough of the whispers.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are not letting me lead this show the way I need to lead it because mm-hmm. I don't have your trust. Let's fucking get this on the table.
Yeah, get it out in the open and you know, deal with it.
If I am dirty, I am going to say, you know what? Going to let the process take out. I'm running the country over here. No comment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or I would go to you guys. You guys think what you think. We're just not talking about it.
Or you would say, you know what? Both of you get the fuck out. I'll get two new slobs in here.
Well, that's what I would do if I wanted to look guilty. I'm a little smarter than that.
Yeah.
I would just go, you know what? We're not. There's nothing there. We're not talking about it.
Right.
You know, you want to talk to my daughter about it. She'll fill you in. I'm doing other stuff. I'm trying.
Yeah, but she's like a little black belt. She'll kick my ass.
I got a show to run. She'll fill you in. I can't be bothered.
Right.
And I wouldn't comment on it. I'd go, that's it. There's no comment. Work it out with my daughter and her friends. I'm doing this over here.
Right.
If I was guilty of doing something,
mm-hmm.
if I was guilty and I wanted to look really bad, I would make a big stink. I would make posts on Facebook about you and Joe
yep.
being liars and connivers and having no credibility.
And try to turn the thing and say, oh yeah? Well, have you seen how much crap she's got in her car? Anybody's got that much crap in her car couldn't be able to see the forest for the trees. What does she know?
And that's segment three of the show.
Oh, that's always segment three. Yeah,
most certainly.
Actually, it's usually segment four. That's the post-show wrap-up.
Well, among other things.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Donald Trump is really fucking guilty. I don't know if Donald Trump personally colluded, but he knows that people around him did.
Yes.
He knows. Because you see the way they react to this shit? He is guilty as fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I haven't said that on the air before, and I don't really say it on Facebook very much. I mean, deep down, I've thought it, but I like to let things run their course.
Yeah, I was really, just because for the, I mean, if this is the president that we have for the next 4 years, I'm hoping for the country that he's not a criminal. He's not in collusion with anyone, especially Russia. I mean, or North Korea, please, no. But it's like a...
Oh, I don't think he's in collusion with North Korea.
No. I'm just throwing that out there. But I'm just saying, if he... I don't want our president to be dirty. I don't.
Well, it's too late. He is.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to say, this guy's dirty as hell. And I don't think Lindsey Graham is going to fucking stand for it. I just don't think he will. I think he loves the country too much. I think he loves the Republican Party too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's never... Now, keep in mind, he's never been a Trump guy.
He's never
been a Trump guy.
Nor is McCain.
But when they agree with, on the attack in Syria...
Yeah.
Because that goes along with how they think things should be handled.
Ah!
Yes, they're hawks. They stepped right in line with the which is fine. I haven't really had a strong opinion on that because I know it's not what he campaigned on.
Right.
But I can't say it wasn't the right thing to do.
No, I can't say that either.
Right, and I'm not going to be like one of these people that's just going to hate because Trump did it. I'm not going
to
do that.
No. I mean, just on a side note, if he had the intel that there are that many terrorists in one concentrated area.
No, that's a different thing.
I'm sorry.
You're talking about what happened in Afghanistan when they dropped the mother of all bombs.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about Syria, where after the chemical
attack, we attacked the
airfield.
Sorry, long day.
Yeah,
yes.
I think the Afghanistan one makes a lot more sense.
I think it makes a lot. That one makes a lot more sense. I'm not sure. I know. I mean, we never really know everything that happens on the ground.
I try to refrain from the political shit.
Yeah.
Until in my gut, I know it's wrong. Like we went when W went into Iraq. I was very vociferous about
yes,
that. Because
yes.
I knew that was bad news. And I was right.
Yeah. No.
But a lot.
Something that's like, what are you doing? But these things and in the Middle East are incredibly complicated.
No, you just got to trust the team. And by all accounts, Donald Trump, and I don't know, but by all accounts, Donald Trump is... accumulated a good foreign policy team around him.
Yes.
Very hawkish.
Yeah, but at least if
experience in military ways.
Yeah, he needed to be trained. He needed to be schooled on what really goes on. What are the finer points? If he would listen to his intelligence briefings all the way through every day.
And also the problem is he doesn't really, by all accounts, just because you see what the budget he proposed to the cuts to the State Department, he doesn't really negotiate. You would think he'd be a big negotiator. He doesn't really value the State Department, which the military does, because the military knows that if we don't negotiate this shit, they got to fucking go in and fight.
Oh yeah,
and they don't want to do.
The military is spread too thin.
Well, we're sending more troops into Afghanistan.
I know, and we.
But I can't even comment. I don't even know if that's bad, because I was just watching Vice, which is a show I love on HBO on Saturday nights. You could DVR it or it's on demand. Great documentary show. It's much better than the website, and they showed what's happened in Afghanistan in the past couple years, and how the Taliban has like more territory now than they've had since before we went in. So I can't even say it's the wrong thing to do.
No.
It's just a never-ending war. I mean, we have no end game. That's the problem. But I can't say the president is wrong for sending more troops there.
No, I think that it's whether you agreed with the reasonings for committing to military action in the Middle East in any one of these countries.
Well, Afghanistan was different.
No, that's
where Bin Laden was. We had to do that.
Yeah, we had to go.
No. I mean, listen. I guess the big tree huggers on the left would really have a problem with that. With going in, I never had a problem with that. I was thrilled when we started our campaign in Afghanistan because we had to. We had been attacked. They weren't handing him over. We'll fucking go get him ourselves.
Yeah,
eventually.
Yeah. yeah, I mean,
but no, I was 100% behind President Bush for
right,
that.
But going into Iraq,
I didn't like that at all.
Had nothing to do with anything except my daddy got hurt. I'm gonna go
oil, bad intel.
Yep, bad intel.
You know, lying, maybe lying to him, maybe lying to us. I don't know.
Revenge.
Maybe there's a whole bunch of things.
It was an ugly stew.
But that being near here nor there, those are the two. That's what we have to deal with now.
Well, so, that's what I'm saying. Whether you agree or you don't agree with going into the theater of war at any of these countries, what we're dealing with is what's left over and what is the possible end game. You can't just leave whoever made the mistake, whoever made the mess, you can't just leave these regions unstabilized like they do, because we see what happens in a lot of these countries once we or whatever force pulls away and you think, oh, now, great, now the people will take over and it'll be run the way you want. No, not necessarily. There are like evildoers waiting for just such an opportunity to jump in and take over, and it's worse than they were before.
Right. So I tend to report the good news.
Yeah.
When we kill somebody, I post that on Facebook, although I will admit it's harder for me to do when Donald Trump does it. I don't get as much joy. But I'm still, I don't know why. I don't like him.
I don't either.
You know why? Because he's the fucking guy I fight against with all these fucking scammers. Mm-hmm. I've been saying it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I know this guy. I've been immersed in this shit. I know what this guy is. And he doesn't prove me wrong. That's the problem. It's like, I'd love to be wrong. I would really love to be wrong and look back on 4 or 8 years ago. You know what? The guy turned the country. I like the way the country was heading, but now we're even in a better place. Everybody's got more money in their pockets. Yeah. We're less entangled in wars. He's done more for the poor. You know, everybody, the rich still have all their money. Everybody's got better. I would love to go, you know what, that Donald Trump, you know what, if we could get orange bronzer on Mount Rushmore, he belongs to go on. I would love to do that. I would love to be, say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I just didn't know how bad it would be.
I just can't understand how anyone would think that with such a personality that this person would be able to
come up with
good plans of leadership.
Because I'll tell you why, and then we'll move on, or at least until Joe gets here, we'll move on.
Oh, he'll be chomping at the bit.
I understand. Because for a couple things. First of all, if you just listen to words, he has good words. Joe has often said that, you know, when he was growing up, there were businessmen, you know, like I think like Cub Scout leaders or coaches, I don't remember, but influential people in Joe's life as a kid that spoke like this, that he looked up to. I remember he has said that on the show.
Yeah.
So he makes that connection. I get that.
Right.
I mean, I don't agree with it, but I get that emotional connection. Donald Trump, to a certain part of the nation, has that emotional connection.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It doesn't appeal to me.
No,
it's fine. The other thing is, the buy into the myth, and I'm calling it a myth, mm-hmm. that he is a self-made man. He's not a self-made man. And the more I watch him, I tend to think he probably wasn't very good at negotiating either.
Wait a minute. Trump Taj Mahal just sold for 4 pennies on the dollar.
I think he's long gone from that, though, isn't he?
I think so.
But I look at him as a guy who's a master salesman, a master bluffer, a master marketer, and I think he had the might to crush a lot of people mm-hmm. by bluffing mm-hmm. and by having a big mouth. And quite frankly, you know, in his day, he was a very charismatic, exciting guy, man about town in New York. I think that's how he got a lot of his gains. So I don't buy into this that he's a self-made billionaire and you can do it just the way he did, because I know his dad left him millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. He bought influence, which is fine. The system's set up that way. You're just not going to get me to buy into it. But people look at him and think, well, if he did it, I can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. There are people in Congress and Senate, I can't think of them now, but there are plenty of these stories out there. Elizabeth Warren, the left's not going to like her.
Right.
I mean, the right's not going to like her story. But the fact of the matter was, her father was a janitor,
mm-hmm.
son of a janitor. She went to Harvard, and I don't know, not because of money, went to Harvard, and now she's a senator. Whether you love her or hate her, it's an inspirational story.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you could say the same thing about Obama.
Oh, yeah.
You could even say the same thing about Reagan. You could say the same thing about Reagan. I don't know him to be born to money.
I don't believe that he was.
No. So Reagan became an actor. Mm-hmm. Then he was, I believe he was the president of the Actors Guild.
The Actors Guild, he was.
So right there, I mean, you won't think, well, that's prestigious. But he parlays that into governor of California.
Mm-hmm.
And against all odds, against the establishment of the right, mm-hmm. He parlayed that into being, for the right, an iconic figure.
Yeah.
And no matter how you slice it, right or left, an 8-term president that had extreme popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could
be a 2-term president.
Yeah.
8-term.
Eight-year president who had extreme popularity. Now, you might look back on it and go, well, that wasn't a good time or it was a great time. Doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, the man essentially, from what I believe, came from little or nothing, and he reached the highest pinnacle.
Yeah.
So it's a story that is the American dream. And I get that allure, because that's what America prides itself on.
But he wants to take that story away from the people who actually did those things.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Donald Trump's not self-made.
He wants to incorporate that into the myth.
But people that
live in New York remember when this guy was a joke.
Well, that's he
was the local joke.
He just came back to New York. He met with the Australian prime minister on the Intrepid. And, you know, he comes back to – he's fucking hated. New York loves hometown heroes.
Yeah. They hate him.
They hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not popular.
No.
He's popular in Long Island.
Yeah.
He doesn't tie up traffic there. But no president is popular in Manhattan when they're tying up traffic.
No.
I will tell you that.
Like,
there's been many a night when I go, fucking Obama, get the hell out of the city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No president is popular for tying up the traffic.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I think – long story short, this is not going to get the result Donald Trump wants.
It's so transparent.
Like everything he does is.
Yes.
I also don't believe he's a master tactician. I see through it. He's distract. That's what these tweets are. It's distraction, distraction, mm-hmm, distraction, mm-hmm. Which is why we
look
have
at the shiny thing.
Which is why we have segments on the show, laws you didn't vote for.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get covered. And, you know, people can argue left or right, you know, whether it's a good law or not a good law. The fact of the matter is, it's the real things that you need to worry about. It's not his tweets.
No. That's ridiculousness. That makes us an international joke.
I like his tweets.
Do you?
I'll tell you why. Because most of the time, we don't know what a politician is thinking.
Okay.
This is what Donald Trump is thinking.
Scary.
You know, there's no reason to think it's not what he's thinking.
Well, he's padding around the White House in his robe at night, can't sleep.
How many times have I said that's the show I want to see on TV?
What he's really doing behind closed doors. That would be frightening as hell.
This devil dog does not have enough cream. Call up the CEO of Drake's. This is why I have to have Twinkie the kid. Devil's food cake must be Hillary's.
Thank God they brought Twinkies home. Who bought these ho-hos? I don't like them. I think they're making fun of me.
It's the show I want to see.
Yeah.
That's the show I want to see. So, yeah. So we broke some news to some.
Yeah. Whoever wasn't watching it and said, oh my God, like us.
I would say this will end with him going out in handcuffs, but it will not because he will be pardoned.
Yes.
Because if he is impeached,
mm-hmm.
and the right really doesn't want to do that.
you think?
But they will do it because Mike Pence is the next in line. So before the left gets really fucking hard and excited about, well, Donald Trump is gone, ding dong. Yeah. And then Mike Pence is president, and then you're going to have the left pissed off and a whole lot of Trump voters pissed off.
Oh.
Because they are ride or die, and no matter what happens, they think Trump is the victim.
Yeah.
He's masterful. He's the only billionaire who could be the victim every time. It is amazing how people buy this shit.
But it amazes me that he will tell his followers to their faces at these rallies that, oh, you thought I was going to do that?
We've covered that.
Yeah. And they still say, well, oh, that's okay. This one thing, that's fine.
It is what it is. You're not gonna change their minds. I'm not going to change Joe's mind on what he thinks on Donald Trump.
No.
Joe will either come to that conclusion on his own,
mm-hmm.
or there are certain issues. There's been a few issues where Joe has not agreed.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing I can say or you can say mm-hmm. or anybody else can say that is going to change a Trump voter's mind. I'll ride or die one. The independents, yeah.
Yeah, but it's almost impossible. I mean, every single person has flaws. Every person, not just politicians, every human being
sure.
has flaws and has actions or has said things that even their most fervent fan will say, I really didn't agree with that, or that made me unhappy when thus and such happened.
The Trump phenomenon is different. There are a lot of things that they're fine with. I guess the one thing
shoot somebody in the middle of the street and they'd still vote for him. Remember?
It's
true.
The one thing that consistently that I've heard from Trump supporters that they don't like is the tweeting. That is the one thing.
Really?
Yes.
That
is the thing. Because they look at it as not presidential. They wish he would get back to business. That's the one thing I see in all these interviews.
Okay.
I've seen on my Facebook page.
That's interesting. That's the thing.
Now, it's not enough not to support a man.
No.
I mean, if Obama was tweeting all the time, it would drive me fucking nuts.
Oh, my
too.
God.
But if I still liked his policies or believed in him, I would put that aside.
Yeah, but I would be tweeting at him, stop. For the love of God, stop.
Well,
Shut up.
He don't give a shit. I mean, Trump looks at it as the way to communicate with his people. That seems to be the thing.
Even his people don't want it.
That seems to be the thing that annoys people. And it did annoy me at one point, but now I'm like, fucking tweet. Let me see the insanity. Let me see what you're thinking.
You want to see the squirrel running in that cage?
I do. I do, because I look at it for what it is. I mean, clearly diversionary tactics.
Clearly.
But I also think a lot of times he thinks these things.
Oh, of course he does. Because, you know, if it's so weird to see somebody who is so high in themselves and also has such a persecution complex at the same time.
No, it's not. It's really not. This is insecurity. The high on himself is a fucking bluff. Look at Warren Buffett. You think that motherfucker ain't confident?
Oh, God, he is.
He's fucking confident, but you don't see his insecurities.
No, he either doesn't display them or if he doesn't have very many of them. He's got a really... But see, he has a healthy self-esteem based on stuff.
Yes.
He has the stuff.
But Donald Trump has a lot of things he could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, be proud of your children. Be proud of your wife. Be proud that you've transferred... Whatever. Be proud that you shocked the world... And became president. He shocked the world.
He did.
Ran a great fucking campaign against all odds. I mean, everybody thought it was going to explode. Never exploded. Be proud of that. By being proud, you don't need to hand everybody who comes into the Oval Office a map of the Electoral College. We fucking know. There's the insecurity.
Yeah.
So you can be proud by not having to flaunt it all the time.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to be, hey, I have the best this, I'm the best
right.
that.
Because
he's the best at everything.
Because if you are and you have the best,
you wouldn't say it.
Because everybody knows it, and there's no reason to.
Well, the bravado is very, very, very
He's
off-putting.
A very insecure. He's very insecure. Mm-hmm. Just the fact, you know, call it locker room talk, whatever you want. The fact that you would have to go up and grab a woman, that's insecure.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue it's very secure. He knows he can get away with it, and I am who I am. I would argue it's insecure. If you're all this, man, you walk into the room, women are going to come to you.
Right. You don't have to be going and assaulting people to get some.
And I don't think he did have to assault people. I'm not saying he didn't, but I don't think he did have to.
No. I mean, I don't know for a fact that any of that happened.
Well, there's lawsuits. We'll find out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there still is that accusation of rape that
the 13-year-old that got dismissed.
It did get dismissed.
It got dismissed months ago.
I
doesn't mean it didn't happen. But
no,
it got
no.
It got
and
dismissed.
I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I'm not trying to say,
no,
"Hey, get, you big rapist."
No,
I wasn't aware
of
the
dismissed.
Case.
I don't know. She pulled the accuser dropped charges again.
Now,
again, we don't know what happened.
No,
but for all intents and purposes, innocent.
Yeah, well, you know, innocent until proven guilty, I absolutely believe in that.
Yeah, so that
you know,
is what
just
it is.
Because anybody, unfortunately, there are still enough people that do cry wolf or they see the political expediency to say things like that, even if it didn't actually happen, which, of course, lessens the case of all rape victims everywhere, so shame on you. But the thing is that just because somebody brings up the accusation doesn't mean that it happened. I'm not trying to say, oh, I believe all, you know, any sexual scandal that gets levied at someone until there's proof and they're convicted of that kind of crime.
That's going to wind it. Now, Donald Trump did say he was going to sue all of his accusers. He hasn't.
Yeah, but he's going to sue. He was going to look into the libel laws, too. Anybody that's anything bad about him. And
well, actually, Reince Priebus did say they're looking at that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. So what's going on with you?
Well, I'm cranky today.
Is somebody going to get fired?
Out!
All right. Peace. Have fun.
Peace out.
Got shit to do.
Now, I have bone spurs in my shoulder and tendonitis.
Should we put you on the 60-day DL or is something like 10-day DL, little rest, little therapy, we get you back pitching?
It's a little rest, a little therapy.
All right, so you know what? You'll miss a start or two. You'll be fine.
I can't block the way I used to.
Listen, you never were a velocity pitcher. You always threw junk.
Yeah.
It was always location with you. So, I mean, listen, we just got to make sure that you follow through on your delivery, get your mechanics right, you know, get the therapy, and I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work for me. I mean, I need a little time on the bench and a little PT, and then I'll be all right.
Yeah, I think you'll be good.
You know, but I'm looking forward to working with the team, and, you know, I do always hope the best for them, and, you know,
is like a retirement speech.
No, this is... You know how they always talk about, like, in the locker room, they're always talking a lot of the same platitudes. Yeah, you know, well, we pulled together as a team, blah, blah, blah.
No, with this one, listen, it's a process. I want to get back to the team.
I want
to
be stronger than ever.
You know, it's next man up. I'm going to work really hard to get back. Yeah. That's what you have to go with. And so you're not going to be here next week, so now the excuse is you're just rehabbing.
That's right.
We sent you down to the minors.
I'm down with the trainer.
We sent you down to the minors, which is not a basement. It's actually somebody's backyard. Pip will be doing a radio show next week in somebody's backyard. It's an outdoor radio show next week for Pip. She will not be on the big team with me and Joe.
No, Lisa says I'm a Blue Jay on the DL.
Blue Jay? Yeah. She's American, Lisa. Get your fucking head out of your ass.
Wow.
She ain't playing for that low-life team. We're in first place. We can talk shit now.
Oh, okay. Is that true?
Yankees end this show.
Yes. All right. Well, screw them then.
Exactly.
Blue Jays are pretty, but they caw a lot. Wait, wrong thing. Mm. Anyway, no.
So which arm?
My right arm, which is my
is that your jerking arm?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and poor so, Mr. Helix.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, my left, I'm looking at my left hand, like you guys can see that.
Show me the jerking motion with the left.
With the left?
Very quick.
Quick?
Yeah, very quick.
Well, a little twist, you know.
I just don't see any creativity. It's the standard jerk-off motion.
Yeah, well, you know, it is the standard jerk, but I mean, with lubricant. That works.
So Mr. Helix isn't going to lose any time. He'll be okay with this.
No,
injury.
He'll be all right because
okay,
there
good.
Are other standards. There are other.
Well, you got a whole team. You got a whole team working for Mr. Helix.
I have other skills.
Yes, you do.
So, but what sucks is that
will be you.
Point taken.
Yes.
But I almost said what blows.
You do.
That would be me again. I mean, because I am slightly ambidextrous. There's certain things that I do left-handed. I mouse lefty. I
mouse
eat lefty.
I've never heard that as a verb before.
No.
No.
Oh.
I
mouse lefty.
Okay.
I can.
You diddle add little girls lefty. What is this?
No, I can add on the adding machine lefty.
Okay.
Slower, but. I'm better right-handed, but a slow
okay.
lefty. I can do that, and I eat lefty, but the thing is that, but I can't cut with a knife left-handed. I'm kind of spazzy, but really, predominantly, I'm right-handed. So there's so many things that now.
Yeah, but you
still
should be able to cut. I mean, just don't fucking get a $2 steak. You'll
no,
be
I,
fine.
Have to, I have to go really slow.
You but, can't cut with your right arm. It's that bad.
Right now, yeah.
Is that because you like you fucking carry 3 bags of bullshit with you wherever you go?
You notice I always use my left.
I just
me.
You're a fucking pack rat, a pack mule, and a pack animal.
Well, I'm bringing one bag with my laptop and my notebooks, and the other bag is just my handbag.
It just seems like a lot of shit. There's more than you're bringing in that, by the way. it seems like a lot of shit, and it seems like the type of stuff that would take its toll because you're not an athlete.
Is it surprising to you that I have baggage? Literal and figurative?
No.
Okay. Let's just.
Well, I mean, did you do something?
No.
That's my girl.
That's the thing. Nothing. I just all of a sudden started feeling pain, and
maybe you aggravated in your sleep.
It's possible. You know, I slept on it wrong, or I was doing something that was.
So how do you know you have bone spurs?
Well, because they took an X-ray.
So like you can't move your arm?
I can move my arm, but it certain movements. Like, I'll get to here and there.
See that?
That hurts a lot.
Remember a couple years ago when I was still playing softball?
Yeah.
At one point, I thought I had 2 separated shoulders. Maybe it was bone spurs because I didn't go to a doctor. Because at one point, I could not lift my arms.
Wow.
I was I was playing second base and I wouldn't take throws in between innings.
Oh, my God. Because
I just had to save enough or if I was
enough of it and work through the pain while you're playing, but not.
Right.
I can't do any extra.
Right. And if I was in the outfield, like I wouldn't take extra throws and I would just like muscle up.
Yeah.
For that throw to the outfield to get to, because I was seriously, both my shoulders at one point when I was playing.
Jesus Christ, dude.
It was probably fucking stupid because
you should have gone to a doctor, go to some PT.
Yeah. So I just assumed I had separated shoulder from diving. Or something, or sleeping wrong.
Separated shoulder. Oh, my God.
But I don't know. But maybe I didn't even know you could get bone spurs in your shoulders.
I didn't either. And then they said that now I also have some corresponding tendonitis. So I didn't. I was like, well, wait a minute. So dive in there and shave that shit down. Like, why are we playing with?
Well, you don't want to be cut open.
Well, if they're bone spurs, how does physical therapy take it? Isn't it still cutting away in there? I'm like, so get a file, get in there, shave that shit down. But they're like, no, you do physical therapy, and it's irritated, so everything is inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you have to take anti-inflammatories and then do physical therapy to lift everything away from the irritated spot. So, okay, I'll do that. But let me tell you, the first time you do physical therapy, which was yesterday,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was okay walking out of there. They're like, if you're really in pain, we'll ice you before you leave. And I'm like, no, I'm all right. Today, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that's like if you go to the, if you haven't worked out in years.
Yeah.
And you go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
you're fine the next day. 24 hours later, you can't even sleep.
No, no.
That's what it is. So it's not the physical therapy that did this. You're a veal. you're not really known for your physical prowess, your physical
what?
That's not really what people
have. My athleticism is not the first thing you think of?
Movement is not what we think of when we think of Pippi Alex.
Wait a minute.
Like, I half expect you to ask me to get one of those chairs that you sit in to go up and down stairs.
Can you do that?
This is what I am expecting.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. Here's the motion of me with a fork in my left hand going to my mouth. Still, look at that. Expert movement.
Yeah, I don't know how many calories you burn by actually eating.
That fork movement.
And the chewing and the swallowing.
Swallowing.
Yeah.
It's got to be a little bit.
So I think that's probably why you're in pain.
Oh, it was definitely. I mean, there was.
I mean, besides that, it's inflamed and irritated.
Well, you go to PT and then you go into the gym and you do exercises, and boy, howdy, that really fucking smarts.
Now, I will say as somebody who's not been through physical therapy,
uh-huh.
but somebody who drove somebody to physical therapy, the real person
that
who
makes
suffers,
you the expert.
Yes, the real person who suffers is not the person going through the physical pain.
I know what you're going
to
say.
It's the person who has to sit in the waiting room watching the Wendy Williams show. I think that's the real pain and the injury that's not discussed. I've brought it to the show before. That is the real issue. I mean, you're going through your thing, and it's cute. I get it. But the fact, you know, that somebody like me who has to drive somebody like you, perhaps, maybe you don't have to drive.
No, I had to drive myself.
Oh, well, you know, listen, who wants to be in your company for extended periods of time? I get it.
Exactly.
But, like, so, all right, so you're suffering. But if I had to drive you to physical therapy and sit there and watch daytime television, I'm the one who really is suffering.
No, no, you forgot about a third class of people. The people that have to that in the day program have to listen to the constant bitching. I had to lift that. Ow. Oh, I reached for my printer. Ow. Oh,
so you're saying
I'm sitting here breathing. Ow.
So you're even more unpleasant to be around than usual.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. I didn't know you could go up to 12. I mean, I knew you were unpleasant up to 11.
No, I ratcheted it up. It's like a 13 today.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I was just not.
But aren't you on painkillers?
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't give me anything. I mean, you know, I'm taking.
No muscle relaxants?
No. Oh, God, over the tea. Over the can. I agree, Davin. Joe's girl? What?
Thank you, Joe's girl.
Oh, et tu, Brute!
She knows sense when she hears it, that Joe's girl.
I looked at the screen, I'm like, what? How dare you?
She knows who the real put-upon people are.
No.
By the way, Joe's girl's opinion matters now, not when we're doing the mother's countdown and she votes for Joe on everything.
Oh, wait a second. Are you at the day program with me secretly? Did you listen to me all day and go, "Oh my God, that really?"
Yeah. Honestly, if I was sharing a cubicle with you, I would have to say, "Shut the fuck up." We get it.
Yeah.
At some point, we know it hurts. Ouch! Shut
Ow!
Up. Some of us have a job to do.
Ow!
Yeah. You know what?
Oh, she says the daytime shows suck.
Yeah.
That's what she was agreeing with.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so imagine having to take time out of your busy day, mm-hmm. schlep somebody who really just complains a lot, schlep somebody to get their little physical issues worked out while you're sitting there with a bunch of mouth breathers watching daytime television. It really is America's. You know what? I would be on board with President Trump if he could eliminate the Wendy Williams show and shit like this.
What?
I'd be on board. I'd be on. He would be making America great again.
I actually enjoy Wendy Williams.
See, you're the problem.
How you doing?
See, that's because that's because you like Crooked Hillary. But I could get him. I could get on board with Donald Trump if he would make America great again and send Wendy Williams to Canada.
How are those two things combined?
Oh, I think we know.
wait, no, I don't think so.
Yes,
about either.
Yes, they
not really.
Know.
Oh, maybe you think they dated
who?
Wendy Williams and Hillary Clinton.
Do I think they dated?
Yeah.
No.
I thought that's where you were going.
No.
No. Okay. Oh, Tom. Hello, Tom.
See, we were talking about physical therapy. Tom's like, wait a second.
He looks forward to it for a completely different reason than I do. They're all hot women.
Who? On Wendy Williams?
No, on his physical therapists. They're hot women.
Oh, and he is lucky.
And they stroke him. And yeah, they manipulate him.
I got to tell you, when the wife was going, I did not see anybody that I wanted to be injured for. I did not say to myself, you know what? I could tear something.
No. Hold on a second. Let me slam against this wall. Oh, and Tom wants Wendy to disappear as well.
See, I have the pen on my side, which does not usually happen.
No, this is, you should celebrate this moment.
Stop the fucking show. Show's over. Everybody agrees. No, daytime programming is the worst. It really is.
You know what? When you stay home from work and you like get up and have something
I don't watch that stuff.
And just like turn on the television. I go, I'm going back to bed. There's nothing.
I watch the news or I watch stuff on the DVR or on demand.
You can't.
I can't watch daytime.
No. Daytime television is a vast.
Now, when I was in law school, I did enjoy Jerry Springer, but I've matured.
Yeah.
I can't anymore.
No.
There was a time in my life when that was very entertaining.
Davin.
Sure.
Davin. Fast.
But I think Jerry Springer's still on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I can't now.
No, it's ridiculous.
Even professional wrestling does not have the same gravitas it had for me. Like, I can't watch a whole, it wasn't that long ago, I would watch Monday Night Raw.
Oh, my God.
But I can't anymore. It just, it doesn't hold me. I'm much more boring now.
You know what? I do enjoy a little bit of really pathetic
radio.
Yeah, well, here we are.
You didn't have to say it. I was implying it's stupid.
A little bit of pathetic, quote-unquote reality television.
No, no, no. Reality television, yes. Reality television. You, a cooking show, I am there.
Oh, that's not reality TV.
Yeah, it is. Like Chef Ramsay, all of his various shows. I am there. I don't watch much on the food channel.
That is reality television. That's
don't
more,
you?
No,
we had Cassie from MasterChef on our show.
I know we did, but I don't think of that as reality television in the sense that they're just trying to make drama and everybody yells at each other.
How do you think Ramsay got all these fucking gigs?
Oh, I know he screams. But,
yeah,
but the thing is that
not at the
there's
kids,
actually
though.
There's actually an element to it. There's cooking. There's a point to it. I mean,
all these reality shows have a point. Somebody's going to get fucked.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you everything right up to it. And then when they actually fuck, well, that's when we have to have, like, it's completely dark and you just see some, like, shadows moving.
Yeah.
And then the awkward conversations the next day.
Or the night view television, if it's one of those, everybody lives
Let's
in the
see,
same
what reality
house.
Shows when? Do I watch the ones on, I watch some of them on Discovery Channel. Like, I watch Deadliest Catch.
Oh, okay.
I watch Naked and Afraid.
Yes.
And those I watch the cooking shows. Like, I watch Chef Ramsay's cooking shows, and I watch Top Chef on Bravo. So I can't say I'm not into reality TV, because I am. Now, I won't watch Real World, which I watched years ago.
I watched it when it was the first few seasons.
Yeah, I can't watch it now.
Yeah, I can't.
You know,
either.
Back when you had Puck and an AIDS guy, it was good. Somebody might die.
Well,
and he did. So it made for good TV. He didn't die on the show, bad programming, but it was interesting.
Oh, God.
It was interesting.
AIDS guy.
No, it was Pedro.
Pedro.
It was very, because you had Puck, who was this filthy animal,
oh,
who just
God.
Didn't give
he,
a shit.
Oh,
he's
God.
Sticking his fingers up his ass on the community peanut butter.
He was just a reprehensible human being, disgusting in so many ways, I didn't even dream about.
Yet captivating television.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the first few seasons, I was really into it because they almost seemed like, I mean, not relatable in the sense that you act like that, but you could almost understand these characters. And then everybody became
characters, yeah,
and caricatures of themselves.
Yeah.
And it was all just about, you know, who's gonna fuck who. And I'm not that interested in that. I don't live anymore.
I can't watch shows like The Bachelor.
Oh,
no interest. Yeah. I did watch Celebrity Apprentice. I did enjoy that. I never enjoyed Donald Trump in it.
No.
I could always see right through that, but I enjoyed watching the celebrities. But then when Arnold Schwarzenegger did it this year, I watched and go, you know what? Trump was better. Trump was better.
I watched it in the beginning when they had real people.
I never wanted to watch the real people. Honestly, you people listen, not fucking interested in your lives. Give me some people that have been to the middle of the mountain and are on the way down. I don't want to say the top, because if you're the top, you don't got to do that bullshit.
Right, but, right. On the way to, like,
although,
you all know, the members of Poison.
But you know what? They were at the top. Vince Neil was on it. He was at the top. So these people
were
at the top.
They were at some point.
So I watched Celebrity Apprentice. I enjoyed that. I never watched The Housewives. Like, I think I used to watch, like, the Beverly Hills Housewives. I'll stop on the Kardashians in a while, but now even that's gotten too much for me.
Yeah.
I just can't take it with them anymore.
I would stop on there every once in a while and watch them for a while and just kind of try to understand who lives like this. And that was always the question I walked away with. Tom has a really excellent point. He says, can we get rid of any daytime talk show that starts with the... The View, The Talk, The This, The That.
The Chew.
The Chew. Oh, yeah. All those. Awful. And Lisa is so over The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Yeah, I know. They're all.
I gotta fucking redo the music.
What do you mean?
The intro music, because it'll start next week. We're The Davin's Den.
The Den.
The Den.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I never thought about the word the leading off to so many things that suck.
Suck. The Suck.
I think that was something.
The Suck?
The Suck sounds like it was something. Well, now, let's see. The Sally Jesse Raphael Show, the Phil Donahue Show. The Geraldo did not have it.
Oprah?
Oprah didn't have it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So if you're a big enough self-absorbed douche, you can ignore the trappings of the article the.
Yeah, that you have to get away from that.
But Tom, now I know this moved to the evenings, but I know you don't traditionally watch cable news, you said, but you had The Five, which was a big Fox News show. Now it's on at 9 o'clock.
Ah.
But that was a big Fox News show.
Right. Oh,
as opposed to Hannity.
Five.
But the O'Reilly factor, that was and that was the biggest show on cable.
Yeah, it was.
So I don't know if we can, I don't know, maybe it's a daytime thing. Maybe
it's daytime the.
Maybe nighttime the is acceptable. So maybe the 5 sucked during the day, but now that it's on at 9, I will get a whole new appreciation for it.
Okay.
Possible.
That might help.
I'm going to have to look into this.
Morning Joe,
I like. It's not the
it's
morning.
It's not the Morning Joe.
Right. Interesting.
I think, actually, that's a really clever title.
What?
Morning Joe. I like that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, I was saying it was.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I know. All of the Housewives franchises, not all of them. I mean, I couldn't bear to watch the Atlanta ones. I just couldn't.
Because they're black.
No, I couldn't stand them.
Because you don't like black people.
No, that is not why.
That's exactly why.
I just couldn't understand why they were always yelling.
See, if I wanted to be a douche, I could do a segue for Joe as he walked down.
Oh, about what Joe, I just said about you.
But I won't do that to Joe.
Hey, Joe. No, you won't do that to
I'm sure I'll have all the awful things to say to Joe, yeah, but I won't bring him in awfully this time.
You will find other things to do to Joe during the course of the show. You don't
all
have
right,
to
we're not fucking we're not kicking him in the
way.
Nuts or patty whacking him.
What a bunch of jackals you two are. And then you get bored with me, and then you go starting.
All right, see, I should have fucking introduced him badly. See how he attacks us?
We've been tearing each other's.
You see? I said I wasn't going to, and he calls us jackals.
In less than a second, you pal back up with each other.
Well, we see the tender meats.
Like Irish brothers.
I'm completely sober.
Yeah, you know what? Well, we've been ripping each other up for the last hour, so it's like, nah, new meat.
All right, very quickly, and then I want to move on, but I want to be fair to you. Comey got fired.
Yes.
Tell me why this is good.
Well,
if you think it's good, I don't want you to.
Just three quick things. They said that they got fired because of how he handled the Hillary situation,
which I don't recall Donald Trump having a problem with, but I might have missed it.
Right. They also said that Trump might not have, did it because he's trying to see if he can get them off the trail over the Russian investigation.
That would be what the left thinks. Yes.
Okay. The one key thing is that they get the special prosecutor. I said get the special prosecutor in and just get this over with once and for all.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
So it's up to the Trump.
So we agree then.
Yeah. Because basically, I saw the text you shot.
Because it was very Trump bashy to start the show,
But still, I need I also want to listen. To get all. To get the situation, and that's pretty much the thing.
So you want, so at this point, you want to get it out of the House, out of the Congress,
because
get a special prosecutor.
It's not going to end,
right?
It's not going to
end. And that's what I've been saying. If Trump is innocent, if I'm him, I would want this to end. And as a country, then we need to shut the fuck up. If he's innocent,
then
we
need
to
shut
the fuck up. And we don't have to support everything he does, but you got to take away a lot of the stain of the illegitimacy. If there was nothing with Russia, we just the people on the left that are still whining about. I don't think there's a lot that think Hillary would have won otherwise. But you need to shut the fuck up, and it's better for Trump.
The problem is with anything that was leaked, or if the Russians leaked it, was how corrupt Hillary was. So it's... but nonetheless...
Listen, I'm not going to be the one that says Hillary doesn't create her own messes.
Right.
Right, but with this going on now, the Trump administration, as we all know, has a very big problem with optics, how things are perceived, okay?
Well, not to 40% of the country. 40% of the country thinks it's just right.
Well, what they need to do is, I hope they think smart, and get a special
Joe, you can't say I hope they think smart when they say we fired him because of the way he handled Hillary Clinton. Are you fucking shitting me? Trump gives him a big hug on television after he's inaugurated.
I don't like the statement.
I know, but for you...
I'm dude, it's like me walking in going, it's partly cloudy out. Well, how do you know about weather for you? I'm just saying,
I'm not jumping on that. I'm saying, when you say, I hope they handle it smart as far as optics, that's all I'm fucking jumping here.
And you're laughing because they've had a problem with that. Hopefully, they're starting to get...
This is the one thing Trump was good at, optics!
But when, before he had a the issue of politics.
I hate how they thrust it upon him like that. The nation turned its lonely eyes to Donald Trump and said, "Won't you come down an escalator and run?" Okay, so we're pretty much in simpatico.
It's pretty much a cut and dry thing.
Yeah, either you colluded or you didn't collude.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
they're not hearing Joe very well.
Show's perfect.
Move closer and let's see if we can turn him up a little bit. Yeah, I know. You're pretty darn close. So I was like, I don't know why you said far away, but
yeah, eat the mic because I got you on the same levels as us. Right.
Okay. Yeah, Tom says, how about we get him on the mic instead of asking him his opinion while he's in the driveway?
Shut up, Tom. That's not how this show works. We got two lefties and a righty here. We're gonna have the righty out in the driveway.
That's just called fair.
Exactly. Fair and unbalanced.
So, like, first you go to the compound where we're all right wing, and then you come in.
Yeah, and then I go to his brother's house where they paint me red.
I like a fair fight, man. I felt so bad.
Really? A fucking knife fight with you jackals.
Stop it. You held your ground perfectly.
I understand.
And Joe even said, he goes, hey, you held his ground, man. Really good job.
Yeah. And then me and Joe don't really talk much on Facebook anymore because I just can't respond to all this shit on Facebook.
It's just like there's just too much and there's so little time in my day.
I got to tell you something. There's a lot of stuff I want to respond to. You know, I don't have time. I gotta get out of my house.
All right. I know. All right, very quickly, as long as we're doing the politics and I want to do a comedy thing, this segment's going to run long. You've been very critical of the way the healthcare has been handled. Mm-hmm. You have really what was the party line was they need to take their time. They need to go slow. They need to see what's in the bill. That was the traditional party line of you that you were very critical of the Democrats, and I can't argue against it for not knowing what was in the bill before they passed the bill. I can't really fucking argue against that. I never did. Now it appears the Republicans have done just that. We've seen Republicans, congressmen have come and go, well, I didn't read the bill. My staff read the bill. We've seen a bunch of them saying that. It seems very rushed. Are you happy?
No.
Okay. Okay. So you don't like the way this was handled?
I don't like the way it was handled because basically with the whole thing with the pre-existing conditions, okay? Now they said the pre-existing conditions are still, you know, they're saying that the pre are still low.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are still low, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
Too late. But so yeah, the pre-existing I don't know if I'm on the level.
How's that? Oh, there I am.
John, there you go.
Oh, sorry about that. I never touched this microphone. I just sat down. I don't know. Wait, what I mean.
There but we anyway, go.
It's going to be lawsuits. Going to sue the microphone. I didn't touch it.
Funny.
Microphone slander.
Yeah, I wasn't even here last week to screw with the thing. But okay.
I did.
But the pre-existing condition is a very interesting thing where you do, as a person, if you get sick, it shouldn't be held against me what I have.
And that was something that was brought in. The Republicans traditionally backed it, but that was something that was brought in under Obamacare. But the Republicans had traditionally supported that. You're feeling that it should not be held against somebody. It's right. Not really a left-wing idea.
No.
Yeah, the problem with it is that it sets up a risk pool that is not beneficial to the insurance companies. Like if you've got a bad driving record, you'll pay more for your insurance.
Well, no, what they're talking about with these, I don't want to get too much in the weeds with this, but what this risk pool said was we would put all the people with pre-existing conditions into one risk pool, which would make them have much higher premiums, whereas what the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare did was they put it all in together.
Right.
So somebody who's healthy and 25 would be paying more than they would otherwise, but somebody who's sick would be paying less. And then, you know, eventually that 25-year-old is going to be a 65-year-old who becomes sick, so they get it on the back end. That's
sometimes,
what insurance
sometimes
is.
With a 25-year-old, sometimes the problem with the 25-year-olds, and, you know, you feel invincible and you really never get sick. So at that time, at being 25, you really go, you know what, I'll pay the fine and not go into it. That's the problem that they had with Obamacare coming into it. A lot of the young people said, I'll just pay the fine.
Right.
You know?
And that's why it was looked at as a tax. But if they didn't have the mandate, which now there won't be a mandate under this bill, it won't go anywhere, this bill. If they don't have a mandate, they can't pay for all the other shit.
Right.
So they have a problem with it. I don't want to get in the weeds on the bill. I just wanted
to... There's a lot to get in the weeds.
And I don't want
about.
To do that, but I wanted to be fair because you've been vocal about Obamacare. You have not liked Obamacare, and you've been vocal that you did that you wanted it to go slower, and you were not happy with the way this was proceeding. So
we'll see
what the Senate comes up with.
Hopefully the Senate will be a stopgap on it. I don't know how they could, you know, there's so much controversy on it. I don't know how it could go through the Senate.
Well, what the interesting thing is, you got 13 white males who are working on it. The two senators that are not working on it but have come up with their own, I want to say, out of Louisiana. I can't remember the senator's name, but it's a senator out of Louisiana who was a former doctor working with Collins out of Maine, who's a former insurance adjuster. And I was listening to the senator from Louisiana talking about, very conservative guy, and what they came up with. And, you know, I don't know if I would agree with it 100%, but it certainly seemed a lot more workable. Right. Than anything that the Congress came up with. So you would wonder why these 13 senators who are working on it wouldn't have these two in there.
Yeah.
And you would what you would hope was that these two would do, again, I'm sorry I forget the Louisiana senator's name, but the Louisiana senator's name and Collins, what you would hope they would do is you would hope they would start to branch it out and get some people on the left so you could actually have a bipartisan bill so that when the Democrats take over everything, whenever that happens, you know, wouldn't kick this health care out of the way. Because that's what happened. Obamacare didn't have any Republicans behind it. We could argue the reasons for it. Didn't have any Republicans behind it, so it became a rallying cry to get it out. So all the Republicans came into power, now they want to take it out.
Now, would you think that, and come on, let's not kid each other, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, that they pushed it through the House because they wanted to get it done in 100 days. Now, you think that the
They missed 100 days. Yeah,
But still in that range. He wanted to get it done
for Trump,
in that range.
Trump wanted a victory.
He insisted.
I don't understand. Well, this is why I go, you know, I think Donald Trump doesn't know how things work. Why are you even celebrating that?
Please, let me hear me out. Because that's what he ran on.
What's in the bill is not what he ran on.
But he ran on getting that through. Now,
it's one little step.
I'm being the devil's advocate on here, okay? That's what he wanted. Now, hopefully that this whole 100-day thing is over with, that the Senate has got a more relaxed pace and more common sense to go through it and analyze it and come to a better conclusion on it.
I think they're supposed to vote in like 3-4 weeks.
No, I don't know. They're going to take their time on it.
I think, you know, hopefully they'll take their time.
Senator Bill Cassidy.
Thank you. The correct way to do this was, and it wasn't glamorous to run on, but the correct way to do it, and Hillary ran on it, and the Republicans could have ran on the same thing, is, listen, Obamacare is a law of the land. We're going to fix it. And the Republicans could have run it on, we're going to fix it with our ideas. And Hillary could have run it with, they're going to fix it on her ideas. And that's where it should have been. The Congress was saying just replace, repeal. Trump added replace. Mm-hmm. So now they had to replace it, which is why they didn't have a fucking plan, because they never thought they were going to have to replace it. They should be working together. You know, the big pharma is not in there. That was something Trump said. You know, I want to take on big pharma. It was something the Democrats want to do. It was something the Affordable Care Act never did because big pharma was at the table as a lobbyist.
Yeah.
It's been a no-brainer. I mean, something the Republicans have run on, you know, having the insurance companies be able to compete over state lines. Mm. That's not in the bill. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how much it helps, but you've run on it. It would be in the bill. Torts, which is something Joe's been an advocate for. Again, I don't know how much it really handles. I don't think it handles a lot.
Well,
Davenstead?
Not malpractice. Malpractice.
Right, I don't
insurance.
Think the money is that much. My point is, though, that was certainly a right talking point for years. And as far as I know, that's not
one quick thing. Also, they really should look at the nuts and bolts of the healthcare system. The redundancy.
Well, that's why you would have Susan Collins from Maine, because she used to be an insurance adjuster. Why wouldn't you have her as part of your team?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Together?
Somebody, I forget who it was. Somebody was in a hospital, and their parent or something like was in a hospital, and somebody comes in and holds the arm of their parent or whatever, takes a look, and goes, "All right," goes out, and never saw that doctor. That doctor just came in, billed $5,000. Yeah, that is what they need to look at.
Absolutely.
You know, the
but
redundancy.
There's none of that in there. There's none of that in there. But whatever. All right, so interesting. You and I actually are pretty simpatico on two big stories right now. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I think I'm having a stroke.
I hope so.
I'm tired. I just caught that.
You're laughing too. You're no better than me.
I was laughing. I was thinking that too. I stink on ice. All right, sorry.
I'm not the only jackal in this fucking cage.
No, I never saw you.
Yeah, we're going to sharpen our claws.
Look, I came in and dropped my carcass in the corner and galloped up to the thing. Howdy.
Listen, at least she still has coverage. Yes. She'll be fine.
For now.
Exactly. If you're going to have a stroke, I suggest now. I suggest within the next 2 months.
Elizabeth, I'm coming, Elizabeth.
And because we talked about it, it's a pre-existing condition.
Ah, damn it.
All right, so we can take our first break, or I can tell this story about how sometimes I should keep my mouth shut.
Let's hear this story.
Eager asshole.
No, I just want to kill 2 hours.
What do you mean kill 2 hours?
On how you can keep your mouth shut.
No, it's not that type of story. It's actually a comedy-related story.
Right. Oh, good.
Look at me. All
right. Story time.
All right. Well, this happened. So there was this comedian who took a bunch of comedy classes.
Once upon a time.
Don't you have to make sure your car isn't double parked?
Come on, here's a blankie. Let's have some popcorn. Go ahead.
I got the big screen.
Tell us the story.
See that? I got the big fucking big screen. It arrived.
I did it?
That big box?
Oh, that's what that is?
That's what that is.
It's not
oh
a TV.
God.
It's like a fucking for the projector for the phone. And the, yeah.
That's also humongous.
Yeah, you guys should come over. In the summer, we're going to have the fire pit going. Fucking watch big screen. Outside.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. So, including... took a bunch of comedy classes,
mm-hmm.
including some taught by me, friends of mine. I'm not going to name names. Mm-hmm. So she crossed my path, and I was warned that she's nuts. I was warned she's nuts by several
Wow, a comic people. That's nuts?
Right.
What?
But are you really a comic if you're still taking classes? a new comic, a pre-comic.
How many years in?
How many years has she been doing it?
Yeah.
No, she's new.
No, okay, about a
Isn't
year.
Nuts a pre-existing condition for comics?
I don't think that's going
to
be coming.
Yeah.
I would be lying if I said no.
But you know, I always judge people for myself. You know, I've talked
right,
about...
Right, yeah.
Right.
So... It was to me, it was very evident that these comedy classes did not teach some of the basics, like mic technique,
mm-hmm.
basic terminology, like what a callback is,
mm-hmm.
or even to wear a watch, which more and more comics don't wear.
I find, and you know what, sometimes when I do a show, sometimes MCs don't wear. I had one guy come in, he showed up a little bit late before showtime. He's like, hey, Joe, could you time me? Just throw me a light. And I'm sitting in the green room, I'm like, you're the MC.
Yeah,
it's my job to drink coffee and look at my list, not to let you know when you're
download
done.
Download porn if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
These are my responsibilities.
Yeah, you know.
But you're absolutely right. It's fucking maddening when you're a veteran like somebody like us who've been doing it a long time. It's like, when did it become my responsibility?
I emceed this weekend. You could walk up to me. You could walk up to me at any point and any time during the show. I'll tell you what time it is, where we are, how much time they got.
Yeah, but I don't really believe it's the MC's job to time the other acts either. I believe we should all be responsible for our time. But yes, sometimes they ask the MC to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm fine. I got to watch.
Yeah.
I know how to. And if the clock.
But I always have my watch. You know where you are.
So. These are all things that'll make it easier for you to navigate in the comedy water.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All these basic things. Did not know. So I explained a lot of stuff to her. And, you know, and I'll answer questions for anybody who asks, you know. So I hired her a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Did a nice job for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy with the work. She hired me once to help her write. So at one point, she started calling me her mentor.
That's nice.
Yeah, I've had a couple people do that. I don't really fancy myself. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, Joe, yeah. We don't got a TV.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay, we can talk about it off the air.
We can, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were like making fun of me, but like in a non-vocal way. I'm like, well, shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Isn't that what you thought?
No, I thought that he was trying to say
You thought he was having your stroke.
I did.
One up you.
Show off.
Yeah, wait, why do you always have to step in my light, Joe? Sorry.
Joe, you're being selfish. Let him have the stroke.
Step in your as I'm trying to walk to it.
That was a foot race.
It certainly was.
But let's be honest, you have a stroke, you ain't fucking walking.
You're choking on that one.
Oh, stroke talk. Anyway. Yeah.
Stroke talk.
All right, call that. I guess that's what
stroke
we'll call
talk?
It.
Stroke talk.
That's going to be misleading.
Actually, we spoke about that before. We were talking about my gamey arm, so it works in two ways.
Pip's working hurt. Besides the usual damages.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So the other day, I see a post by a different comic saying how the owner of a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bar, and they do comedy in the back every day. This owner has been physical with comics, demands the comics buy a drink, and won't let them use the bathroom. I see another comic who I know post this. Now, I work at this club on occasion.
Won't let them use the bathroom.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this before. Like, the bathroom's just for customers.
What? That's insane.
Agree. And again, I go in there when I'm doing other spots in the city. Sometimes I'll do a spot there.
Okay.
Because, you know, if I'm going to cross the bridge and pay those tolls and be in the city, I want to try to load up on spots.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I know the club. I've never encountered this owner. I don't even know who the owner is. I couldn't tell you if I fell over him who this owner was. But I can certainly tell you I would not fucking tolerate that.
Are you
I tell
kidding?
Him, fuck you. I piss on his floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your closing bit. They call you a young Gallagher. And you're just happy anybody calls you young, so who are you to argue?
Oh, please, that's encore material.
And now, keep on clapping. Joe's going to come out and pee on you.
Ta-da.
Oh, look at the arch.
This is those pay toilets for the talent.
Sure. Joe Puddles Curry. Get your tarps ready. Joe's going to close.
I don't see a watermelon. Oh, hey!
First he's going to do smart shit, and then he's going to pee on you.
Joe Curry, sponsored by North Shore Urology. Yes.
Hey, there's a guy out in the alley stealing your bit.
Funny, funny.
Joe will be selling urinal cakes after the show.
Refreshingly minty.
Well, Joe's little face on it, you can fucking pee on it. Those things with selling hot cakes. Yo, your wife is buying a case.
The funny thing is, next time we do go on tour, you're just going to see this. Could you keep those fucking things away from my shirts?
Oh, my God. Urinal cakes with the other guy's face on it. Oh, my God.
They'd be pissed I'm selling them. 5-1. Yeah.
You should definitely sell them with your face on. Now, listen, folks. I know I'm going to say something that's going to aggravate you. That's why after the show, I'll be selling urinal cakes with my face on it.
Notes taken. Notes taken.
Listen, there's been worse ideas
sell. You picked a bad night to look for an argument. Let me tell you.
Certainly did. Well, we have the Mother's Day countdown, so we can argue there.
Hold the phone. Davin's Den urinal cakes.
Yeah, I think Joe needs it more, but certainly.
It's a very noble act of you letting me take the urine cake.
Sure. She gets the stroke, you get the urinal cake. I'm a giver. I'm a very magnanimous man. I should be your mentor.
Wait a minute. Let's find out what that means.
Okay. Or tour mentor, as the case may be.
Well, you already have stepped up to that.
So, anyway. All right. So back to the... this female comic. I see that she's teaching a comedy class to children, and she was just taking classes like less than a year ago.
Oh, boy.
I've taught classes.
Yeah.
Pip and I met in a comedy class.
Yeah.
I am very skeptical about what these comedy classes, because many of the people who are teaching them are not qualified to teach the basics.
I thought he was going to say because he met me in
No, honestly, I was going to say something nice about you, but I'll rethink that. I was going to say the best thing that I got out of that comedy class was Pip.
Mm. Thank you.
Pip and I became... friends for, I guess, probably about 18 years now.
Yeah.
And that, you know, our friendship led to us meeting Joe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
I mean, the comedy class gave you this show. So now you know how bad comedy classes are.
It led to
they
this.
They ruin everything.
They certainly do.
Took time, but it led to this. Funny.
But essentially, that is what I got. I got two friends.
Right, yeah. Right.
And, you know, this radio show and all the things that we've done together as friends or, you know, whatever.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is our baby.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as learning nuts and bolts, not what got me back into performing.
Yeah, I mean, I did learn some things.
Okay.
I was brand new.
You were brand new. I'd been doing it about a year, and then I had stopped when like the first semester of law school.
I had never done stand-up. I'd done community theater, mm-hmm. so I wasn't new to performing per se, but I had never done stand-up. And so a lot of the things that we talked about in the class were... You know, I mean, I learned callback.
I don't remember the class. So you did learn that. That's
I learned the rule of three. I learned a little bit about writing.
Yes. You know? The rule of three is one man, two women. That is the rule of three.
You know, I mean, little things like that. But, I mean, in some ways, the person teaching was a little ridiculous and a little bit hacky because we were having a conversation on the phone, Joe, and she started saying to me, like, I could tell that she was working material sometimes when we were talking.
Which is awful.
Yeah, right.
But then she started using material that I wrote and brought to class.
Yeah, it's
and
not
I went,
good.
Oh, so you did like that? And she stopped. Because she forgot who said it first.
Yeah, it's fun with like, somebody that steals.
Forgot who you stole
slips
from,
up.
You
yeah,
bitch.
That happened to me a couple of times, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Also something, and if you guys listen to the show regularly, you know this, I don't like when people are taken advantage of. I mean, that's the whole fucking scamming thing.
Well, yes. Is she teaching little kids?
Yes.
Stand up?
Yes.
I mean, maybe in a little kid. I mean, you know.
No. Well, anyway. Our field, stand-up comedy, has been on decline since the end of the 80s. It's been it's not been what it was, the boom, as they call it. You know, there's still comedy out there. Comedy's as prolific as anywhere, but there's not as many venues where you see unless people are making good money at stand-up comedy. Just not what it was. So I wrote on Facebook, I posted this on Facebook, in the past week I have heard of a place that does not pay comics, demanding the comics buy drinks, can't use the bathroom, and somebody who has recently taken comedy classes, now teaching comedy classes. The fuckery comes from all angles in this business, jeez. Yeah. I posted that on Facebook. I didn't name names. I didn't, and I've seen a bunch, and I remember
when, I saw the post, yeah.
I remember when we were in, years ago, Joe and I were in Long Island, and there was a guy who Joe and some of the veterans, Joe wasn't even that much of a veteran at the time, but Joe had an issue with some of the newer comic teaching a comedy class.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were all going to and we're not going to name names, but some of us and my guys,
yeah.
You know, we were going to take the class and just sit there and bust his balls.
But Joe didn't want new material, so he stopped the material. Right. So this is, it's not an isolated case where new right. people are teaching something they really shouldn't be teaching.
Right.
So the female comedian messaged me and is upset I put her on blast. I said I never said who it was, and I've seen plenty of comedians teach way before they should, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, so then she's like, well, I'm not teaching it. The owner of a comedy club is. I said the owner is not what's on the flyer, and it wasn't. It mentions her and special guests. Does not mention the owner. I said, well, I look forward to the owner's dissertation on the difference between performing comedy in the North and the South. Because I feel if you're going to teach comedy,
yeah.
you had to have been a stand-up comic.
Absolutely.
Because there's things that only a stand-up comic would know. Like, if I have a horrible story, and I've shared them before, Joe is able to go, well, listen to fucking this.
I took a comedy class back in 98, took it back in 98, and I was with Peter Bales, and Peter Bales is one of the, you know.
Very respected.
Very respected, and Rich Walker and Steve Lazarus, who, you know, had credentials and stuff like that. The great thing about Peter is he would tell you stories and he would tell you what to do in certain situations.
Right.
And till this day, and I'm in 20 years, there'll be situations I'm going, oh yeah, Peter said do this. You
right,
know?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's a certain experience from having done that you should be able to convey onto your students. Mm. You can study stand-up comedy, but unless you've done it, there's no way of knowing all the insanity that's going to be thrown at you. So anyway, so she said, I'm sorry, I just lost my place here. I took notes. I'm sorry about this. She's like, well, I'm stewing and mad because they taught it at one of the places where I taught comedy in the past, and now they're doing shows there. I really wasn't. It's been over a decade where we did shows there, and it's been maybe 7 years since I taught comedy there.
Right.
I mean, at some point, and it's not a knock on the place. I like the owner. It's a great place. But at some point, you just know it's probably not going to work well here for me for whatever the reasons are.
Yeah.
You know, nothing personal or anything. Just, it's
sometimes
fine.
Sometimes it doesn't
work. Yeah, if somebody wants to go in a couple of years later, might as well talk. You know, do what you got to do.
Not upset about it at all. Yeah. I really wasn't. And so I told her, I'm not mad, but I am upset that the Yankees are losing. Because this was on Friday. I was watching the Yankees and Cubs, and I was not happy with the way things are going. Thank goodness Brett Gardner hit a 3-run home run with 2 outs in the ninth. So I was very happy. But I really wasn't angry about this. And she's like, well, I guess I'm not going to be working any more of your shows. I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with it. If you're qualified to work the shows, I'm still going to hire you.
Yeah.
I'm really not mad about this at all.
Yeah.
So she, in mid-conversation, she blocked me.
What? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, lame.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So I think social media makes it easy to have like real relationships just be disposable.
Yes.
I think it real like now everybody is just easy to be dismissed. Now Joe and I had a blowout, and I don't believe we ever blocked each other on Facebook. I never block anybody.
I can't do that. And
you blocked your wife, but you know.
Well, no. Yeah, I had to read because she's a dope.
At the time, you thought I was. So.
No, because she would just comment. If I would put something on there, she would just put some dumb comment down there. And I told the time, Joanne, don't put anything on there. I don't care who you are. Don't put anything on there. And she did it. One last time. I'm like, you're done. You're off. I can't have this.
Right, but I just think this whole blocking thing has gone too far. But should I? I did not name her.
No,
I did not put her on blast.
No. This you when you name somebody, you're putting them on blast. Or
right.
When you're being like, you know, a couple of radio hosts that I know can't come over to my house this week because they're naughty. It's like, oh, who the fuck would that be?
I can't imagine me posting that, but okay, we'll go. Joe and Pip are naughty, but yeah. I won't say who.
Right. Wait, but that would be... But
you know what you did.
That would be passive-aggressively putting us on blast.
I think if I say call you naughty, it's not really passive-aggressive.
No, that sounds like I'm afraid to go over there. And you want to know something? Bondage gear in that fucking
basement. And it's been 4 years, I guess, 4 years already when we had the big old blowout. You and I had that blowout.
The blowout.
It comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it always does.
But still, it was done, you know, over Facebook. It was done in a very...
No, we were talking. We had intermediaries, and then we were talking.
Well, we had intermediaries.
And then we were thrown into a car together.
Yeah. But during that period, we were very, you know, cordial and stuff like that.
Right.
You know?
But, I mean, what do you think of that? Was the post I did... I mean, she's like, well, you could have let me... You could have said something to me about it. I could have.
But you weren't specific. It was not specific to her.
No, it really
you
wasn't.
You could have said something to her like, you know, to my mind, you're a little young in the game to be teaching.
Right.
But it's your business. Mm-hmm. It's just my opinion.
Now, Joe disagrees like, well, they're kids. But I'm like, no. There's certain...
Yeah, you set yourself up to be an expert on something, and when you're teaching, that's what you're saying that you are.
Right.
You better be an expert.
Well, you know, I know if you're just teaching little kids dopey jokes and stuff like that, it can't hurt. I mean,
she's going to write with them. They're going to write. No, I would never.
How old are these kids?
Like 10?
So what hurt? What are they going to do? They're going to go be down at the club with a sippy cup waiting to go on?
They're still charging like $3,350, whatever the hell it is.
What?
It's a lot. Yeah. It was.
Note to self.
But you see, but
you sit here, you can't go put your flyer now, Joe.
So there's real money exchanging hands.
Yes.
I think the parents have a certain expectation.
Yes, they should.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to try to teach kids doing comedy.
I mean, like, I can't set myself up as an art teacher even for little kids. I'm not a fucking art teacher.
Yeah.
I'm not even that great of an artist.
Just because you doodle in the margins does not make you an art teacher.
Yeah, I can do some little crafty things, but it's like, Jesus, I don't know how to teach them how to paint.
So
yeah.
Was I
and
in the wrong...
$350 I'm shot. Holy crap. Was I
in the...
I will.
Was I in the wrong for posting anything on Facebook?
No. I read that post, and no, I had no idea who you might be talking about.
And you had no idea who I was talking about.
No, I didn't know. So it was just like a general...
And it really was a general thing.
It was... Look, I'm reading it, and I'm looking as a generalization.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. Yeah, I know people like that. If you're this person, and you're doing this class, mm-hmm. and you know what you're doing, and
you
see it, it's like...
It.
That, yeah, maybe you feel like you're doing it, and you read it... You're taking it a lot more personal.
Sure.
I know teacher guy, I know people. So I'm reading it, and I heard about this club, and I chimed in, you know, but I was just saying, oh, boy, what a business, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't have pro-economist. I'm a professor. I could get, but, you know, I don't teach a client.
If you're reaching out and think it's you, then you have a guilty conscience.
Yeah.
Then you know you did something
I mean,
wrong.
I don't think I could ever teach a comic. I would like, you know, I could go in and maybe be a guest speaker.
Sure.
And throw in my 2 cents, but that's the extent of it. It's just somebody that's been doing it for 20 years, you know?
Yeah,
sure. And you have certain experiences that are valuable to a newer...
Yeah, just certain things that
but
I
you
see...
Know, but you know there's like you know there's weaknesses in your game, like as far as being explained, like performing certain regions of the country. You haven't done a lot. For me, it would be like, how could I... And I can teach, but how could I ever explain what it's like to be at the top of the mountain in the HBO special? I can't!
Yeah.
So somebody who's done that certainly has a leg up on me.
I know, and if it's like crowd work with special guest Joe Curry, I'm stealing your money. That's not my forte.
But you know how to write material, you know how to develop
a
character.
I write material, I get into the character. That I know how to do.
Yeah, right.
But like, it's, you know, that I could do a seminar, but crowd, yeah, it's not my forte. I'll be the first one.
And crowd work should be part of a basic comedy class.
Yes.
How to do it.
But crowd work is looked at, but crowd work, and hear me out again, crowd work is looked down by some club. No, I'm not. Crowd work is looked down by some club owners. Well, you should really have materials.
Right.
Crowd work is an art and a difficult thing to do.
Very.
You know, so yeah, you need material, but crowd, I wish I was better.
I wish I was a lot better at it.
Whatever.
Not, we all have weaknesses in our game. Most of us have weaknesses in the game. But if you have enough experience, you can teach a lot of things.
Mm.
But I just feel like there should be a certain resume to go, listen, I have done this. And this is why I think I could teach, but it wasn't aimed at this specific person.
No, but I, the pen is saying you didn't name. Well, Lisa said you didn't name names, Davin. And you didn't, not at all. You shouldn't feel bad about it. And Tucker Tom said, I was just going to say that if you think a post that names no one is about you, maybe you have a guilty conscience and should reexamine what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now some could say I was a pussy because I did have these beefs and I didn't name names.
Do you?
Could, no.
You know the funny thing. You know the funny thing about it is
not
is
this
that,
show.
Is that a comic friend, Lori Palminteri, was listening on And then it's like hacky things comics do. Uh-huh. And then
I didn't know she's my Facebook friend. She saw everything.
Well, but she also mentioned in the act like that the comics that do material about technology, you know, backfiring, like the the cell phone, you know, the mistyping thing and stuff like that.
Spell correct.
Yeah, the spell correct. And I started to do a bit like that, and I'm like, I felt guilty about. I'm like. And
I got
dropped
one joke.
I
got a joke like that, and it's not a brilliant joke at all, as you would. And it doesn't always make the set, but yeah, guilty.
But I, you know, but what you say, you know, feel guilty. What you just said, you know, you might see it, think about it. Yeah, and I wrote that. I'm like, but I dropped it. I didn't feel it was worth having in the act. I didn't think it was that strong, and I didn't think it was worth having in the act. I could do better.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, even professionals go, when somebody calls me out and goes, oh, yeah, like those hack jokes about this, and then you look at it from that perspective, it doesn't necessarily, you might say, no, that's not hack. It works every time. Everybody loves that joke. I think it's spot on with human nature.
The arms are spot on every time. Human nature, everybody drives. Everybody sees somebody from the opposite sex across the room and tells them to come here.
Everybody needs a cigarette in the middle of it.
Everybody gets in the middle of a fight in a bar and they try karate.
Something you just had something and it was very yummy. Hey, you.
But
it works.
I know.
Oh, I was fucking. I was commenting to you a couple of weeks ago about a show I was on.
Oh God, I'm surprised you didn't do. Did you ever talk about?
No, I never talked about it on the show.
All fair, we're gonna have a talk.
All right, we can talk about it.
I got it.
It's just like I can't believe I
because I walked downstairs and I knew that we were gonna. Oh, I hope he talks about the thing. Hope he talks about.
I forgot about it. To be honest with you,
we have to do it on the show another night.
All right, on another night.
But to your point about. Whether you should or should not have said something to her face, it's not up to you to make that call for her. You're not the judgment police about whether she should be doing that class. You have an opinion about it, and you voiced your opinion. You didn't call her out. You didn't put her on blast at all.
That's true, too.
She was feeling, oh, that's about me. Maybe she was feeling a little bit insecure about how much experience she really had. But you weren't being a pussy.
And she tried to like turn it around on me like I was angry and jealous, and I'm like, I'm really not. And then she was like, well, you know, I came up to your house and you know, and I paid for blah blah blah. I'm like, well, you wanted to. You kept on asking to write with me. And she's like, some of the comics on your show suck, and I didn't even answer that. And it was like completely like defensive. Like I'm not even going to answer.
Yeah.
This I just thought it's fucking weird. Like if somebody's like telling you why you don't think you don't. You don't end a relationship over it.
No.
You run for president if you only want people who agree with you. Sorry, Joe.
Joe's like, and we were going so well.
In light of the Comey thing, I think it's fair.
I'm just thinking of boxes and cartons and the dumpster being dropped.
Oh, Pip, you should stop by.
Play. I could use all the help I get.
Yeah,
nobody's helping
me.
You
might not get all the shit. Some of it might go back to her house.
Hey, yeah.
Girl needs to go shopping.
Yeah, got just the place.
All right, let's. Wow, we did an hour and a half up top, very long, but I think it was good. On the break, new music from Martin Nokin with Booty Twerk, and Oscar J featuring Claudia. I'm going to screw this name up. Jedrzejczyk with "I'll Be Your Light," and you can learn more about them at khbmusic.de, khb-music.de, khb-music.de. When we come back, Worst Moms Countdown.